Chapter 5. As Janine and I walked through the main doors of the Sleep Time Inn, we were greeted by the sound of several whistles.
Do my eyes deceive me?
A douchey voice gasped.
Or is that Janine Beckett at the fuck shack with a dude?
Easy, Toby.
Janine rolled her eyes.
We're just working on a project together and figured it'd be easier to work in private, especially given all the commotion that's going on out there right now.
You talking about all that shit that happened on campus?
The polo shirt clad, chino shorts wearing frat boy scoffed.
It's no biggie. All the real commotion is going to be happening here tonight, won't it, fellas?
The other frat boys let out annoying shouts of joy in response, from whoops to cheers to even a few barks. Janine and I just rolled our eyes.
Rumor has it the building collapsed on a bunch of people,
the redhead stated without a second thought.
I heard there were fatalities. It's nothing to laugh about.
Did it happen to me or my bros?
Toby asked as he gestured to his friends.
Or any of the hoes I want to bang? Then Toby no give a shit, baby.
You want me to punch his lights out? I growled under my breath as I tightened my fist.
Don't. You'll snap him like a twig. It's not worth it.
No, we need to get out of here now, before I beast out again.
The frat boys whistled as Janine and I walked over to the front desk and checked into a room. But the woman behind the counter didn't even seem fazed we had no luggage, or that we were two young college kids staying the night together. I guess when you worked at the Sleep Time Inn, you saw all sorts of shit.
We got our room key and then quickly scuffled away to the elevator, all while the frat boys made drunken comments behind our backs. What was that all about? I asked as Janine pressed the call button. The way he gave you shit, it's like you've never been seen with a dude.
That's because I haven't.
Janine admitted, as she looked down at the ground.
Not since I've started my thesis a few years ago, anyway.
No shit. I gasped as my jaw hit the floor.
How? Aren't there guys, like, kicking down the door to try and get with you?
Maybe.
Janine shrugged.
I've just been hyper-focused on my studies these last few years. There hasn't really been time to date, and the whole drunken, casual hookups thing has never been my style. Ugh, ew.
Huh. And here I thought Janine Beckett was a regular man-eater.
I guess the old saying was true. You couldn't always judge a book by its cover. We stepped into the elevator and then traveled up to the sixth floor, where we exited onto the white vinyl flooring of the hallways. Everything in this building screamed early 2000s, from the eggshell white walls with single-colored accent beams to the sterile design and open concept of the hallway itself. Janine led me down the halls until we arrived at our place, room 652. The redhead slipped her keys into the lock, and then she opened it up before we slid into the room.
Damn.
Well, I can see why this is where everybody goes to fuck.
The room was just about what you'd expect from a place right across from a college campus. The walls were covered with dark wood paneling from the 70s. The carpets were a faded red and gray. There were two twin beds in the room, both of which had standard navy sheets and lumpy pillows. There was a dirty mini-fridge right under the desk that held our glorious 30-inch flat-screen TV, and a tiled bathroom laid just beside the door.
It's sufficient,
Janine noted as she locked the door behind us.
We're only here to sleep and shower anyway.
Check it out,
I chuckled as I pointed over to the top of the mini-fridge.
They gave us complimentary breakfasts.
Complimentary breakfasts in the form of two tiny, single-serving boxes of cereal.
You know what? A bowl of cereal would actually hit the spot right about now.
No milk, though,
I sighed as I glanced in the fridge. I guess we're crunching it down.
Honeycomb or Fruit Loops?
Janine's bubbly voice asked as she picked up the cereal.
Honeycomb, of course,
I said with a fake scoff.
What else? Should we sit at the desk and eat this fine meal, or is there a kitchen table, or...
We're college students. I plan on sitting my butt down on the bed and not getting up again until I have to.
That sounded like a fine plan. Janine hopped into one of the beds, and I sat down on the one across from her. Then we both dug into our gourmet dinners of honeycomb and Fruit Loops, while we made some small talk about our classes, majors, how long we'd been in the area, all the usual stuff. However, once we'd both finished the dry cereal out of our boxes, I wanted to shift the conversation back to something more serious. All right, Janine. I sighed as I set my empty box off to the side. I've been a good house guest so far, but now I gotta address the elephant in the room.
About me being a changeling? Okay, what do you want to know?
Everything. I know pretty much zilch about that sort of thing.
Ooh, where do I even start?
Janine looked up at the ceiling as she spoke.
So, essentially I'm an orphan. Kind of. Not really. Like, I have no idea who my real parents are, but my human parents have raised me since I was only a few days old.
What happened to your fairy parents? Did they die?
Ugh, I wish.
The woman mumbled under her breath, and then her eyes widened with horror.
Oh, gosh, that sounds awful without context. My fae parents are still out there somewhere. They just don't want anything to do with me.
Get out of here. What sort of dumbasses would they need to be to disown a beautiful, smart, and caring woman like you?
In fae culture, it's all about the looks. When I was born, my parents thought I was the most hideous creature they'd ever seen.
Wait, you can remember stuff from when you were born? I asked in surprise.
Fae memories work differently.
She shrugged.
I remember their disgusted faces when they looked at me. So, when they had the chance, they secretly swapped me out with a human baby. My human parents never knew the difference, and I've never told them.
Hold on. I shook my head and scowled. They thought you were ugly. That's fucking impossible.
This is my human form, Carter,
she said with a frown.
Changeling children are shapeshifters as well. We just can't control it at all.
You can shift too, I gasped as I leaned forward on the bed. Into what?
Haven't you been paying attention? Into a hideous fae creature.
You could never be hideous, Janine. Your pure soul would always shine through like a beacon of light and warm the hearts of anyone who encounters you.
Wow.
Janine's face turned beet red.
Somebody's been taking charm classes.
Seriously, though, you're better off without those assholes who abandoned you. They don't know what they're missing.
Thank you, Carter.
The redhead's brown eyes were now filled with tears.
It's just... it's nice to finally talk to somebody about this. I've never told anybody. At least, not face-to-face. There are a few support groups online that claim to be for changelings, but I have a sneaking suspicion most of the people on there are faking it.
So nobody knows but me. I smiled. What an honor.
It feels like a huge weight has been lifted off my chest.
I'm sure it's been a huge burden. I nodded. But I still have a question. If you've never told anyone else, then how did the cultists know what you were? Your magic glowing hands.
Yeah.
Janine said, as she raised up her hand and surrounded it with yellow light.
My powers.
Powers that do what, exactly? I raised an eyebrow. I saw your hands get all glowy, but nothing seemed to happen.
Changeling magic is invisible to the naked eye. But I can assure you it's present. Did you also notice how lucky we've been in the last day? How that cultist didn't land a single blow against me, and how the campus officer's walkie-talkie couldn't get service until he was out of our sightline? That was all me.
Wait, what? I shook my head and tried to wrap my head around what she was saying. Did you control radio waves or something? Like, can you flash forward into the future so you know when attacks are coming?
No. Changelings can harness the power of good fortune.
Good fortune? Was she trying to tell me her magic made us lucky? Luck isn't really magic, though, is it? I raised an eyebrow at the beautiful redhead. Janine just shrugged.
Influence over luck certainly is.
So, are you saying if I went out and bought a lottery ticket, you could use your powers to make sure I got winning numbers? I proposed. Because UC tuition isn't cheap, and that would help us both immensely.
I've tried that already,
the archaeology student admitted.
I got two matches, which won me a total of $200. Still lucky, but it's not like I have control over how we get lucky.
It's quite literally the luck of the draw. I think I get it.
Before you ask... No, I haven't used my luck magic to get good grades or anything like that. I've made it a point to do everything in college myself without the influence of my fae magic.
I wasn't even going to suggest that, I said as I crossed my arms. But that's really fucking cool. Like, I knew you were smart and beautiful and all that, but you're a freaking lucky charm now too? Now I'm kind of glad you were stalking me.
I wasn't stalking you,
the redhead smirked.
I was just observing, remember? I truly believe fate put us together for a reason, and not just because I'm super lucky. I think our paths intertwined so we could help each other.
I can get behind that. You get your thesis paper out of this, and I get a guide through this wild and wacky world of the paranormal.
It's more than the paper at this point, Carter,
Janine said, as she began to kick her dangling feet back and forth gently.
Don't get me wrong, I'm still going to write it, but it's been really nice to just have somebody to talk to. I've been so caught up in my work lately, I've kind of just... faded into myself.
You don't have to worry about that anymore.
Even after we figure all this shit out, I'll still stick around.
I mean, fuck, we both survived an ambush by a bloodthirsty ancient cult. Survivor's trauma is a real thing, you know.
The only ones who were traumatized were the cultists. I'm wondering how many more they plan to send after you.
It won't matter. I shrugged.
Between the two of us, we'll send them packing each and every time.
You snapped their bones with your bare hands,
the woman said with a smile.
Imagine what you can do once you get your shifter panther powers under your control.
Seriously. I figured I would have turned into a werepanther out there when my life was literally in danger. That's what happened last time.
I don't think danger is necessarily your trigger. Though there was obviously something out there in the woods that made you transform.
I hated the sound of the high priest's voice. I joked sarcastically.
Maybe that was it.
For all I know, that could be it. Which is why we need to get back down to the library as soon as we can and keep trying to research the subject. I think you were on the right track when you headed down the path of Rome.
If they'll even let us back in there, I said with a frown. That's where this whole incident began, and Agatha doesn't strike me as the kind of woman to just forgive somebody for destroying one of her rare books, even if it was a matter of life and death.
Maybe she won't forgive you, but Agatha adores me. She'd let me into the library even if I called her a sweaty hog in a wig to her face.
The imagery of the changeling's words made me guffaw with laughter.
Funny, too. How the fuck could anyone want to abandon you?
Janine's face suddenly fell into a frown, and the light disappeared from her eyes. The redhead looked down at the ground as she continued to kick her feet, and then she hopped up from her seated position. Damn, was it too soon for that joke?
I think I'm going to go take a shower. Then I'll probably want to take a nap before we do anything else.
That's fine, I said with a smile. Just let me know when you want to head out again.
Janine wandered over to the closet and snatched up a plain white towel before she disappeared around the corner. The door shut with a dull thud, and I instantly began to kick myself mentally. She obviously had some issues with abandonment, and she really didn't like to be reminded of the situation. Still, I was only being honest. Janine may have been the smoking hot girl in a bunch of my classes, but now that I'd gotten to know her, I appreciated her so much more. She was one of the sweetest, kindest, smartest, and most adorable people I'd ever met. Just the thought of her bubbly face and happy eyes when she showed me her books melted my cold heart and made me want to snatch her up in my arms and cuddle her to death. But I needed to watch myself around her. I'd seen firsthand what I was capable of. The images of the cultists' exploding heads, severed spines, and geysers of blood filled my head as I remembered what I was deep down, and a shiver crawled up my spine. I may have been Carter Hatfield on the surface, but the creature inside of me had much more influence over me than I'd like to admit. It had for my entire life. I just didn't know it. Now I wanted nothing more than to protect Janine. The thought of the cultists putting their filthy hands on her again made me unnaturally angry, to the point where white-hot rage boiled in the pit of my stomach. Suddenly, a twinge of pain flared up in my body, and my muscles started to spasm. Ah, fuck! I gasped as I fell off the bed. I tried shoving the pain away and stopping the transformation, but it was like trying to stop a freight train with my bare hands. So I used the last of my remaining strength to tear my clothes off me as fast as I could. Then my arms and legs began to burn as they elongated, and I saw the hair on my body start to thicken.
Oh, not now! Of all the fucking times to transform, why now?
I let out a roar of pain as my hands and feet contorted into padded paws, and then it was done. The pain subsided, so I stood up on all fours and looked at my reflection in the glass of the nearby window. For the first time, I saw myself as a werepanther, and it was like a frickin' out-of-body experience. My eyes were a vibrant emerald green with dark rounded pupils, and even though my entire body was now covered in a forest of thick black hair, I still had plenty of discernible human features. Massive muscles rippled underneath my fur, though the ones on my chest were so defined I could see them perfectly. My upper half still looked fairly human, with its broad shoulders and triangular shape. But that was pretty much it. Every other part of my body was fully panther. My nose was now nothing but a small black T, while the whole lower part of my face jutted out and formed a protruding snout. Weirdly enough, my eyes were the only thing I could see that were my own. As I looked into the reflection, I could see my confused and worried feelings in my bright green eyes.
They were just as expressive as they normally were, and I wondered how long that would last.
Carter?
Janine gasped as she came around the corner. The beautiful redhead was draped in nothing but a white towel that clung to her perfect breasts and just barely hung down low enough to cover her womanhood. Her pale flesh was glistening with dampness, and her hair was matted down against the sides of her face like thin red noodles. Janine's chocolate eyes were wide, and she took a big gulp as she slowly approached.
I'm sorry, Janine. I didn't mean to transform.
It's okay.
The terrified redhead promised as she held out her hand.
I'm here now. It's gonna be okay.
The archaeology student approached me with caution until finally her hand was against my chest, and the second I felt her soft, gentle touch, every bit of anger and rage and fear in my mind seemed to disappear. I was at complete peace. Suddenly, my body started to shift again.
Now what the fuck?
I growled as I stumbled backward and fell against one of the twin beds. My legs and arms shrank back to their original size, while my furry body transformed into the regular fleshy prison I'd been used to. My paws elongated into fingers and a palm, and my canines returned to their original size. I was back to normal, and I was completely naked again. But at least I hadn't ruined my clothes this time.
Oh!
Janine gasped as she looked over my body. And then she looked away with a flush of red in her face.
I'm sorry. I forgot that happens.
It's all right. I promised, as a strange new wave of confidence took hold. You can look if you want. I know I've been looking at you ever since we were back in that forest. Janine bit her lip as her eyes swished back over to my body. And she let out another gasp when she glanced down at my manhood.
Wow.
She gulped. And then her lips twisted into a large grin.
I guess it's your turn to look, isn't it?
Janine reached behind her and undid her towel. Holy shit, was this really happening? I was about to see the hottest girl in school naked. And I had a really, really good feeling it would go to much better places from there.